Welcome to the ASC podcast, Cytopath Pod. Join special guests to highlight ASC activities in cytopathology education, advocacy, and research.
Welcome to the Cytopath Pod. My name is Sarah Sprinkle, and I am the Vice Chair for the ASC Bulletin and Cytopath Pod Editorial Board. I am the Education Coordinator and an Assistant Professor with the University of Nebraska Medical Center Diagnostic Cytology Program. Today, we will be talking about the updates from the 2023 American Medical Association, AMA, House of Delegates Interim Meeting. I will now have the individuals joining us today introduce themselves.
Hi, my name is Margaret Compton. I'm an assistant professor at Vanderbilt University Medical Center, and I've served as both the alternate delegate and the delegate to the AMA House of Delegates for the American Society of Cytopathology.
Hi, I'm Swati Mehrotra. I am presently a staff pathologist at the Heinz VA Hospital and an affiliate professor at Loyola University Medical Center. I have served as an alternate delegate, a delegate, and now again alternate delegate to the AMA House of Delegates. I have also served as ASC advisor to the AMA RUC, and now I am on the RUC panel of the AMA.
Hi, and I'm Mark Sinovec, and I'm in Topeka, Kansas, the president of Topeka Pathology Group. And I'm here because I'm the pathology section council chair of the AMA House of Delegates, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. And more importantly, I am a new re-upped member of the American Society of Cytology, hoping to support the ASC's goal to stay a vibrant part of the AMA Federation.
Woohoo! Thank you, Dr. Sinovec.
Thank you for those introductions. So for those listening that may not know, what is the American Medical Association?
That's a great question. I can start out with that. So the American Medical Association is one of the longest standing national associations. And the goal is to promote the art and science of medicine and betterment of public health. So I think that there's a lot of overlap with American Society of Cytopathology's goals in that there's very much that public health focus. And there are a lot of different elements to the AMA. I actually only recently got involved with the AMA myself and didn't realize how many different areas that it covered. So personally, I've been involved mostly with the House of Delegates component, which is really the policymaking and advocacy arm of the AMA, but there are other elements as well. So I can pass this along to some of the other participants, and they can talk about their involvement and some of those areas that they've participated in.
So let me just say I got involved in the AMA initially in 2014 when I was appointed as the RUC advisor for ASC. So just a little bit about the RUC, which is AMA's RVU update committee. The RUC, in conjunction with CPT editorial panel, which Dr. Sinovec is a past chair and a great resource for CPT, creates a process where specialty societies can develop relative value recommendations for new, revised, or potentially misvalued codes. And these recommendations are then submitted to the CMS, which can accept or change them. Historically, more than 90% of recommendations that the RUC sends to CMS are accepted. RUC by itself is a 32-member panel that tends to maintain relativity amongst the CPT codes for all specialties, and about 125 specialty societies that are seated in the House of Delegates, ASC being one of them, sends an advisor to the RUC to present their recommendations for codes. So that's how I got involved in the RUC.
I'll follow up with those. You guys did a great job of kind of giving some of the important parts of the AMA. I started when I was a young physician, meaning that I didn't have all gray hair for the little hair I still have left. Since I've been doing this since, I believe, 1995. The AMA is so important. They are the voice of medicine, essentially, in Washington, D.C. And so it's so important for every society that really has an agenda on either payment or policy or patient safety to really have a communication directly with the AMA so they can help on those and building coalitions between different organizations. So it's just essential that the ASC has that communication. The other thing is it's important because the AMA works a little differently than most organized medicine organizations do, whereby typically if you have a specialty organization, you would vote the membership would vote on your leadership, and the leadership really makes the policies. That's not the way things work at the AMA. The AMA is truly a federation. So if you have a membership through the AMA, and if you are an ASC member, you do get representation through your delegate. That delegate would vote on AMA policy. So it's not the Board of Trustees that's developing the policy. It's actually the people that are sitting at the House of Delegates, including the ASC representatives that go through that process. So it's so crucial to make sure that your voice is heard. And this is how that's done. And I just can't emphasize that enough. So the other thing that we actually are fortunate to have is because there's so many people sitting in the House of Delegates that we break up into different kind of caucuses through that. So we have the Pathology Section Council is one of those where all organized pathology organizations, including the ASC, ASCP, CAP, and name currently get together. And so we actually go through twice a year through all of the agendas and see how are the things that are going to be discussed at the AMA going to be important to our membership as pathologists as a whole, but also individually. So if there's a specific issue, and we've had those, and I know you've discussed them before, such as cytology, you have two great representatives here with Dr. Compton Miotra that do a great job of representing not only the ASC's membership, but actually all of pathology, because we work together because that's how we do it. So I just can't emphasize enough how important it is to have the ASC membership represented at the AMA. And the way we do that is actually making sure that ASC members are also AMA members. And I'm already starting to sound like a preacher here. I apologize for that. But I will let you take over, and I'll rest a little bit for the next question.
Can I just add a couple of things, because I've been involved for the last 10 years, and then I'll let Margaret take over. She's a new upcoming smart energetic member delegate for the House of Delegates. So even though we have one delegate as ASC is a small society, being a part of PATH Section Council really gives a voice to all the pathologists in the House of Medicine. And the other thing that I would just take this opportunity to emphasize is that we really need ASC to be sending a delegate to the House of Delegates and be part of the AMA, because that allows our membership or our organization to send a representation to both the AMA RUC, which is really, really important, and to the CPT editorial panel. So that is my wish, that we stay afloat in the AMA and we have enough membership and representation in the AMA. Margaret, take over. I said enough.
Sure.
Well, and now you got me fired up too. You
know, we're all fired up.
Well, and I think the thing is because I've been doing CPT for such a long time, people say, well, why do you care about CPT or RUC? And I says, you only really need to care about CPT and RUC if you like to get paid for your services. If you want to do them for free, then you don't have to worry about that. But that is really where everything that a pathologist does in the Part B world or actually taking care of patients gets appropriately described and valued. So I can't emphasize enough how important that is. And I'm sorry I cut you off, Margaret, so I'll let you finish your thought.
Well, I just wanted to go back to, you know, we keep mentioning membership and representation in the House of Delegates. So that's not a given. There are specific requirements that need to be met by a society in order to have this representation, including meeting a threshold of members that are dual members of both the ASC and the AMA. And so one of the reasons that we wanted to speak about this today is that if we dip below that threshold, we're in danger of potentially losing our voice in these things that are so critically important, including how we get paid or other legislation that, you know, revolves around things like laboratory developed tests, other advocacy efforts that AMA is involved with.
Thank you for sharing those insights and describing the relationship between the ASC and the AMA and how important it is to have representation in both. Can you guys share how you would become a delegate if somebody would ever be interested in the future?
Sure. So that the person who's a delegate is nominated by their society. So the society has to have representation in the House of Delegates, and basically that person will be nominated by, in this case, the ASC. And I got involved through the Government Affairs and Economic Policy Committee. Now, I'll also say that there are other opportunities for people to be involved through different sections. So there's a resident and fellow section as well as a young physician section. So those are other opportunities for people to get involved with.
I think that's a great answer. The only thing I'd add, and this it's depends on where you live, but when you are an AMA member, you are represented both through the specialty societies that you belong to, as well as your states. And so if you're really interested in getting into the AMA, and obviously ASC is a smaller delegation, but if you're in a state that has a need for state delegates through your state, so Kansas Medical Society, for example, they typically welcome your involvement in there. And so that would be another route. And we'd be delighted because that actually increased the pathology voice in the House of Medicine. And we welcome you with open arms in that regard.
Thank you for sharing those routes. So I think it would be nice to give our listeners maybe a taste of conversation that might happen at the AMA. And so there were several issues that were discussed at the recent interim meeting. I'll pose each of these issues, and if anybody would like to share their insights, I would welcome that. So one of the issues mentioned was with the Food and Drug Administration and the proposed rule on laboratory developed tests.
Oh, so I think that this is something that we're really kind of anxiously awaiting what's going to happen with the final rule to see what action the Pathology Section Council is going to take. There was a lot of discussion about how we can garner support through the rest of the House of Medicine, because I think from our standpoint as people who work in the lab, we understand the concept of laboratory developed tests and just how many things that we use on a daily basis are laboratory developed tests, which may not be immediately apparent to somebody who is getting just seeing a test result pop up in the medical record and seeing their patient and treating their patient based on that result. So I think that being involved with the AMA gives us an opportunity to educate the rest of the House of Medicine about just what a significant impact this would have on patient care overall.
Absolutely, I agree. I think this whole area of LTDs, as most people know, has been going on for decades, and there's been a division within the House of Laboratory Medicine on the best route of this. And you know, some people favor a CLIA route, some favor an FDA route. In reality, it's not up to us. It's up to the people in Washington, D.C. And I know that some people are pushing for a congressional solution, which wasn't panning out. FDA was always thought they kind of had that. So I think you're exactly right, Dr. Compton. We're kind of waiting to hear what FDA has in store. And that's going to come any day now, what I've heard. And at that time, we will be reading feverishly to try to figure out what the AMA might be able to help us do to mitigate any untoward effects from their preliminary or final decision. So more to come on that. And if anybody has the secret answer, I'd love to hear it right now.
Another issue that was discussed had to deal with HPV-associated cancer prevention.
Oh, yeah. So this was actually a really great debate, because the role of this resolution that was introduced was really to expand screening for patients, different types of screening, as well as use more gender neutral language, which I can say is a topic close to my own heart, talking about, you know, making sure that trans men are aware of getting screened, as well as the role that HPV has in cancers at other sites, not just cervical cancer. So we were very, very much in support of the spirit of this policy that was introduced, but there was some problematic language in that they were saying things such as, I forget the exact language that they were using, but it basically implied point of care HPV testing should be available. And so that was a great opportunity for the pathologist to step in and say, you know, hey, wait, are you talking about availability of primary HPV screening? Are you actually trying to ask for point of care HPV screening to be available in the clinic, as well as to discuss some other issues with regard to self-collection and things like that? So I think that this was a great opportunity for the pathologists to really share their expertise in this area. And make sure that, you know, while the spirit was right, then we could also help get the technical details right as well.
Well, and you're being too modest. You said the pathologist, but it was actually the two of you. The ASC really took the lead of that educational focus. And I think the House of Medicine is better because of your contributions specifically in that issue. So thank you for that.
Thank you for those insights. One more issue that we'll discuss was the laboratory regulations regarding digital pathology.
I think this one was actually introduced by CAP. So, Mark, do you want to take the lead on talking about the importance of this?
Obviously, we're really involved in digital pathology, and the goal here was just to get some awareness out there and to make sure that Pathology is a part of the AI and digital revolution as well as other parts. And so we just wanted to make sure that that was brought forward. And that's one thing that's great with the AMA is that smaller societies have the ability to put their specific agenda items into the larger federation agenda. And so obviously more of that will follow, but I think we'll see how that transpires through this. And Swati is certainly aware, and I'm aware because I'm still a little bit involved in CPT, but there's a, like, I need to tell anybody that's not living under a rock that there is a digital and AI revolution throughout our country, and medicine is no exception. And it is really a challenge because, what is going to happen here? We certainly welcome AI and innovation. At the same time, we will still need those pathologists and technologists to be performing the basic skills, and those need to be reimbursed. And we can't just, basically take all of the current investment and give all the reimbursement away to these manufacturers unintentionally through this process. So a lot more is going to come in that regard. So I'm starting to wander. I apologize.
Well, I think that fits really well with the current goals of the American Society of Cytopathology. After all, our most recent meeting, the theme was digital cytology, embrace your future. So making sure that we're involved in basically making sure that we get paid for the work, that the regulatory requirements are fitting with our workflow. And I think working with the Pathology Section Council, as well as the AMA House of Delegates, is a really great way to advance these goals. That's where the future is going.
Yeah, the challenge will be how to value these services so that people are appropriately reimbursed for their investment into the equipment and the new technology. And I mean, yeah, digital pathology is great, but it's still early on, and it takes a good amount of time to review a slide digitally as well. So I'm looking forward to the challenge in the next few years, how we figure this out.
Well, and it's so important that we cannot do this in a silo. We can't do it just for cytology. We can't do it just for pathology, because all specialties are going through this. Some of them are a little bit more mature in that, such as radiology and cardiology, ophthalmology, but there's a lot of other ones that are there, and they're frankly scared to see what's going to happen here, because how are they going to maintain their practice environments if all of a sudden a machine, quote, takes over? And obviously that's not probably going to happen, but there is a great fear of the unknown.
Well, thank you all for sharing about these issues affecting the pathology community. Do you have any advice for members of all levels at the ASC, pathologists, cytologists, students, or staff, how to become more involved and knowledgeable about legislation affecting the pathology community?
So I can start with that one. I would say that being involved in your society, so things like the Government Affairs and Economic Policy Committee in the ASC, but particularly for the physician members, understanding how the AMA is involved in these, not only policy making and legislative and lobbying issues, but also in RVU and CPT process, and consider becoming involved in the AMA as well in order to make sure that cytology is well represented.
I
I'm just
totally
gonna
agree.
say, sorry, sir. Sorry, sir. Please go on.
Oh, I was I'll finish and I'll let you tell me what was really right. But no, I totally agree with what Margaret said. The only thing I would also add is that something's happened over the last 10 years, and it's gradual, but it's significant. whereby a lot of things are happening at the states that weren't happening before, not specifically in pathology and in cytopathology yet, but I think it behooves all of us to kind of get involved to some level with your state medical society, if you're not state path societies, just to make sure that those things aren't happening in the middle of the night, because things happen sometimes very quickly at the state, and having some knowledge connection that might be or a good investment in time.
Yeah, and I would just say that for the younger physicians, younger folks, residents, just get involved, make your interest known to some senior people in the society, or you could probably even reach out to members of the Government Affairs Committee, and they can, and even Ms. Jenkins, and they can try to fit you into some committees based on your interest. Volunteer for ASC committee, but also consider membership of the AMA, because that's our lobbying organization that's watching the backs of the physicians. That's all I'm gonna say.
Well, thank you all for your insights and sharing about the partnership with ASC and the AMA. I think it's a good call to action for those who are maybe younger in their profession to explore what type of opportunities are out there for being more involved in our pathology community. And for those who are more senior, to share the type of opportunities that are out there and exist with our younger members. So thank you all for being here, and that concludes our podcast for today.
Before we do that, though, I would just like to put in a plug. For those of you who understand the importance of this, it's not hard to sign up to the AMA. It's ama-assn.org, and they can get you to the right place.
Thank you for listening to Cytopath Pod. You can reach ASC on Twitter at cytopathology or via email at asc@cytopathology.org.